Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is going on, AfterBuzzers? Welcome to the Married to Medicine LA Season 2, Episode 6 of Married to Medicine LA. And as usual, I am Eric Devante Russell, and I cannot host this after show without my amazing co-panelist, Ms. Regina Coles. How are you?
Hey, Eric. We are the dynamic duo tonight.
Yes. How about that? All right. Yeah. It only takes two to make it right. I'm very excited.
I love that.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Now, at the top of the show, we just want to take a second to extend our love and our prayers to those affected by police brutality, those out there protesting for Black Lives Matter. As you guys know, this is a huge issue going on right now in the world where Black people are being slain in the streets and people are fighting for their freedom and their right to exist in this country. So our prayers, our love goes to those affected, the families who have lost any loved ones. We are with you. Regina, is there anything you want to share with the people?
Well, you know, of course, my heart goes out to everybody who's lost someone. This is just been a year to remember. Yeah. I mean, when I look back on this year and how it started, you know, it's been so turbulent and just so shocking, starting with Kobe Bryant's death.
Yeah, right? What a way to kick it off.
Yeah. And so then we kind of go from Kobe Bryant, and then we have the young man, the pandemic, COVID-19 right. kicked in.
Right.
And then we had the incident in Georgia, which happened this weekend. But before that, the young man that was jogging, was that in Georgia too?
Well, yeah, Ahmaud Arbery happened in Georgia.
Oh my gosh,
it's
okay.
Just a lot. Like, it's a spreadsheet of lives lost in just the first half of 2020. And mentally, especially as a Black person, I'm exhausted. Like, it's a lot to keep tabs on.
Wow.
It's girl.
That's like surreal for me because I was like thinking about it. And it's Georgia again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, this incident with Rashard Brooks.
Yeah.
How do you get pulled? You know, first of all, we know the story of him, his car stalling at the Wendy's drive-thru. Yeah. But my thing is, the police spent a good amount of time, like 43 minutes with him. And he did not. At first, he was compliant with everything. You know, he was very mannerable, did what he was asked to do. They even had him move his car.
Yeah.
And so how does it escalate to him getting shot and killed?
In my mind, logistics are out the window. There's really no rationale. And nothing has made sense for a while now. So it's not even about, you know, what the law is going to do to protect us and all this stuff. At this point, it kind of feels like a free-for-all. And I'm just, like, existing in it.
You know, the thing about that is I know you're doing more than existing, Eric.
Yeah.
Because I know you have a voice. We have a voice. We're here. You know, and we are so fortunate to have this platform here at AfterBuzz TV. And given the freedom and support to say how we feel.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask you, as a young Black man in this country, and seeing how this wave, this rain of terror is just raining down on Black men, how does it make you feel when you go out?
You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't want it to come off as passive. I don't want it to come off as I don't care. Am I desensitized? A part of me is desensitized because you think about it and it's everywhere. It's the reason why, you know, AfterBuzz went dark for a week or two. It's on the news at every corner. It's signs are posted. Businesses now, like, it's becoming trendy to, you know, speak on behalf of Black lives. Those who do it authentically, thank you for the support. And those of you who do it because if you don't, you'll lose money. It's neither here nor there. But it's just, it's constant messaging that your culture, that your race, that your people are not okay. And as a Black person, as a Black male, I'm just like, always on edge. I'm just not, like, I'm just, it's so much.
So you're really fearful of ever being stopped by the police?
Yeah, just from basic things. It's not about knowing your rights. It's not about having your license and registration intact. It's not about being a model citizen. I graduated, I have 2 degrees. And like, I work for myself. I pay my own bills on time. Like, it's not about being a model citizen. It's really my skin.
Just walking like, while Black, driving while Black.
It's like, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel as a Black woman in society right now?
Well, I'm going to tell you, as far as me having a son, that I am petrified. Mm-hmm. I'm petrified for my son, who is a nice young man. Mm-hmm. But as any mother, and you know, a lot of mothers, Black mothers, are having this conversation with their children, especially their sons.
Absolutely.
How to comply if the police pulls you over. But as we can see with these recent incidents, these men were complying up to a point for sure. Rashad, I don't know what triggered him with the handcuffs.
Yeah,
but he was
I'm just, and then like footage leaves the hands of, you know, cops and stuff. So we don't know what happens in the room when the footage is being transferred to media. We don't know who gets a say if clips are being edited. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Girl, it's been such a time. It's been such a time.
But you know what? It touches my heart to see so many people from all walks, races, gender, you name it, across not just this country, but the world, stepping out, speaking out and saying, no, this is wrong and this is enough. Yeah. It just made me feel so good. I was watching television yesterday, news report, national news. Did you see that big march they had on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, did you go?
Yes. No, I didn't get to go. I was still doing some filming for myself. I was helping a friend do a little Black Boy Joy summer ode. He wanted to do that to kind of like lighten it, but also be, you know, culturally relevant. So I was like, okay, I can support you with that. At least it's like related.
There had to be 5,000-10,000 people. It was a lot of people.
Yeah, they did the damn thing. I saw them. And shout out to everybody who went to Hollywood, West Hollywood, and walked. And shout out to everybody in Brooklyn, too, because I know that they did a Black Trans Lives Matters as well. Shout out to the trans community also wrongfully being killed, but that also goes unrecognized many times. So shout out to everybody who's out there using their voice, utilizing their platforms, and just standing in solidarity with the Black community during this time. We really appreciate you.
A young lady, she was white, she was interviewed.
Yeah.
And they asked her, what brought you out here? And she was saying, I have to say that I'm embarrassed and I feel ashamed that I've been living a life of privilege and I'm finally woke to what people have been saying about bias and racism and that kind of thing. She was like, I come from my, you know, well-to-do life and everything like that. And then when I have to see what happened to somebody like a George Floyd right before my eyes, and this man is pleading for his life and saying he can't breathe, I had to come out. I had to come out in my support. She said, I don't know what else I can do, but I'm going to do what I can to march with them and add a voice to this movement.
Yeah.
And that is what it takes to bring about change.
Absolutely. People in positions of power have to utilize that power properly. It's not enough for Black people just to say Black Lives Matter, especially not to other Black people. We all have the, I'd like to say, let me not even give a blanket statement, but for the most part, Black people understand that Black Lives Matter. It is now explaining that to those who try to oppress us, to those who try and lessen our rights, try and dehumanize us, try and continue the marginalization of our people. It is us, we are explaining to them that Black Lives Matter. We are explaining to the people that try and negate it within All Lives Matter. We understand that everyone matters on this earth. But
absolutely,
the people that are being harmed in mass quantities are African Americans, are Black people. That is why the hashtag is named Black Lives Matter.
So, absolutely.
Yes.
But, you know, my thing, too, is letting people know. And I feel good about this because I have some family members. They attended a march back east. Mm-hmm. And one of them works in politics and said, I said to her, I said, okay, I love it that people are marching and they're holding up the signs and they're saying Black Lives Matter and everything like this. Mm-hmm. But I do not want them to lose sight that votes matter too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want Black folk, brown folk, mm-hmm. whatever, to mm-hmm. get to the voting booth. You have to start to make the change that way as well.
Yeah.
You gotta vote.
You gotta starting vote. In the local elections. It's not about just you know, voting for the next president. You want police reform to change, you need to work and see your local councilmen, councilwomen, your mayors, your sheriffs, deputies. You need to be voting at the lowest level to really reach the top of the hierarchy. So like,
exactly.
Let's do the work. We can't just be complacent with the times that we're in, especially not this time. Especially
no.
not this time.
And I feel like, to a degree, when I see things like what happened in Georgia a week mm-hmm. or two ago with the voting.
Yeah. Yeah.
People waiting in line for mm-hmm. 4 hours.
Yeah.
No, this is 2020. No one should have to wait in line for 4 hours. Nobody should ever have to come up to a broken voting machine.
Right.
No precincts should ever run out of voting ballots.
Right.
What is that about? We know what it's about. No one's vote should be suppressed, or no one should be disenfranchised, because people die for us to get the right to vote.
Right. Absolutely.
You
it's
know?
Just, yeah, it's just, it's really heavy. I'm truly grateful that I have Regina here to have this conversation, because I find myself as a Black man in this country constantly having this debate with like-minded and non-like-minded people. And, you know, ultimately that can take a toll on you. You're expressing a lot of very passionate views and you're really trying to sway people or like convince them to see something that seems so clear. So for me at this point, I feel like I've given so much that I'm just like, I'm borderline drained, but I'm glad
that
you're here to have this conversation. Absolutely.
I don't want you to be too drained. So
yeah,
why don't we segue into the episode and then we can
yes.
come back and wrap it up with this, because
absolutely.
I'm sure both of us have more things we want to share with our audience. And we definitely are looking forward to getting the comments on the
yeah.
chat.
Absolutely.
When we go back and check out YouTube. But before we do that, Eric, I just want to take this time right now to really thank our viewers for supporting us here at AfterBuzz TV,
mm-hmm.
because we definitely could not do it without our loyal followers. We appreciate you going on YouTube and giving us the thumbs up and subscribing to our channel. We also appreciate when you go on to iTunes and you give us a 5-star rating. And we love reading your comments. And we just, you know, really appreciate you. And we also have to give a shout out to our amazing staff here at AfterBuzz TV. Of course, Kevin and Maria, Steve and Bree, and everybody that Ryan, he's holding it down with them. And we just appreciate our staff because, as you know, we have been remote for quite some time now, since March.
Right.
Because of the pandemic. And that's another thing that we have forgotten about, the pandemic. But that's something else that we can touch on later after we kind of run through our Married to Medicine episode.
Absolutely. Thank you, Regina. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking about episode 6 of Married to Medicine LA, From Taking Notes to White Coats. And we start this episode off, you know, revisiting Dr. Kendra's fitness journey. And we see Dr. Kendra along with Jasmine and Shanique in a bit of an aerobics Pilates environment.
Oh.
It was giving real Cirque du Soleil with the ribbons. And I didn't know.
My.
Because I've never been in a class like that. So I was like, what kind of yoga is this?
Yes. One to break your hip.
Right.
I mean, listen, I'm a fitness professional and you will not get me in, like you say, Cirque du Soleil or whatever, get up swinging from anybody's ceiling in some sheets or whatever it was. And I'm glad Kendra said, oh, honey, hold up.
Right.
This is not working. Give me an old-fashioned workout, honey. Give me some yoga, some Pilates, cardio, whatever. But
maybe
not
a nice
that.
Push-up. Not
yes.
that.
right.
So, okay, but we got to see a bit of the fitness journey, but I really feel like it was just them in a space to discuss, you know, the news of Kendra taking this interview, this full-time position interview, but not telling Hobart about it. How did you feel watching that scene?
Kendra is a career professional, doctor, and she loves what she does.
Uh-huh.
And so when you get a woman like Kendra, you have to let them be themselves and live out their passion and do that good work that they do to give back. And so I know she's had the baby, and he's so adorable.
He's so cute.
But she doesn't want to spend, she's not a housewife, okay? Now, she gave birth, she's a mother, but doesn't mean she's got to be a full-time housewife. She needs her work.
Now, I agree. How did you feel about the reactions of Jazz and Shanique? Because they didn't seem like they were, not necessarily against the idea of her going back full-time, but the idea of her not telling Hobart. You know, Dr. Kendra told us that if she was to run the idea past them, she most likely wouldn't have made it to the interview itself. But they looked a little skeptical, maybe because they're not doctors. I don't
know. Okay. So first of all, Eric, I have to apologize, honey. I'm going to do a Kendra Moore on you, a Kenya Moore with my fans.
I love it. Because you know it's hot.
Burning up. But anyways... I know you'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, she just wanted to get out there and feel good about herself without him shooting her down right away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dr. Kendra has shown that she loves her baby. She loves her husband. And she worked. She put herself through school to be this, you know, OBGYN. So let her be an OBGYN. I don't know. I wouldn't pay too much about the opinions of Jazz and Shanique, honestly. Like,
why?
Because. Because. Like, Shanique got to do a whole PowerPoint for her man. Jazz is over here getting Dixie cups of ice cream. Like, I can't. Girl, don't be an OBGYN. You run your household the way you see fit. I can't. So...
Well, you know, she went over to Kendra's house. I wouldn't invite her back.
Right.
All my Cheetos out. Girl, you better get your hands off of them Cheetos.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. So, girl, Don't even be taking my Ben and Jerry's or Haagen-Dazs out of my freezer.
None of it.
Like,
I didn't
step
ask
away
you to
from
do
the
that.
Freezer now. And I need one, but anyway.
So then we move on to Dr. Imani having a FaceTime call with her husband, Phil. And let me be honest, it's not looking too promising between Dr. Imani and Phil. It just seems like he's very... Okay, well, she did open up being transparent and vulnerable, letting him know that, you know, the girls, she had to put it off on Contessa and Dr. Britton, that the girls were basically pressuring her to have this conversation where it's like, do you want me to come see you? Do you miss me? And Phil seems so nonchalant and uninterested. What did you take from it?
It's called he's just not into you, right?
Jeez, but
she's
Dr.
just
Imani.
Not that into you. It was totally rude for somebody that's supposed to be your husband. First of all, I don't need to ask your permission. I'm your wife. So right. It's like, oh, I'm coming. But I think she knows.
You think?
That the handwriting is on the wall. And that is part of the news that I have. So stay tuned, guys.
Absolutely.
Some juicy news. But, you know, I think we kind of knew, or we expect to know what's coming.
Yeah, I really hate to see it, because I feel like Dr. Imani is one of those people that goes through a lot silently. And I was just like, you know, I don't want, not that it's even about the other girls, but I don't want to give them the satisfaction of watching her relationship crumble, but it's crumbling. And it's obvious. And she's crumbling, you know, with it.
Well, because she has struggled with abandonment issues.
Right.
And she spoke didn't about have it. A good relationship with her dad. So the men in her life have abandoned her.
Yeah.
And so she said that Phil, she thought was her best friend.
Yeah.
She still loves him, but it doesn't seem to be reciprocal.
Right.
So, like she said, and I don't blame her, honey, I'm not about to beg you.
Right.
No, you gotta keep
no man.
You gotta have some self-esteem and pride
right.
of your own and self-respect. And
absolutely.
If a man or a woman is telling you they're not into you, don't force yourself on that situation. You gotta put on your big girl panties, It's the heat.
It is, but let's make it hotter. Go ahead.
You got to put on your big girl panties or your big boy, whatever, boxers.
Right.
And you got to just take it to hey, all right,
yeah.
Hasta la vista.
Yeah.
And you know what? When one door closes, another bigger, better one will open for you.
I know that's right.
And
Amen.
That's in relationships and everything in life.
Right.
Amen. Okay.
And then we go over to New Orleans. Well, Imani's in New Orleans anyway, but we are in New Orleans now with Dr. Contessa, Dr. Britton, and Dr. Imani. And we get to see them go back to their alma mater, Xavier University, and do a bit of a Q&A for the new pre-med students. And I personally loved it. I loved seeing them in, you know, a less dramatic light where, you know, they're giving back and spreading information. Especially with all that's going on, they highlighted the fact that Xavier is good for putting pre-med students in the med field, Black students in the med field. So, I mean, I love that. What did you think watching that scene?
I loved it because I really loved this episode. Was really my favorite episode so far this season.
I agree.
Because I saw a camaraderie with the women that I hadn't seen before.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I know that Dr. Britton, Contessa, and Imani are old school pals.
Right.
But to see them all together like they were and enjoying themselves, letting their hair down, reminiscing back in the day when they were in college.
Right.
And then to go back to your school and know you made it, you're successful.
Right.
That's big deal. And that's a great feeling. And for them to be honored like they were as grand marshals
right.
in that parade, that said a lot. And I love the fact that they kept it real with the students. They didn't try to be pretentious, like, yeah, I'm wearing Gucci and I got on my, you know, Louis Vuitton, whatever. They just kept it real and told them what's expected of you. And another thing that I like was that Dr. Imani touched on the fact they all did, that when they did get out of medical school and they started interviewing at these different hospitals or what have you for positions, they weren't taken seriously as Black medical doctors, women, period, as doctors. You know, they weren't taken seriously. And, you know, Dr. Imani gave the example how she went in to be medical director of a facility. And they said, would you accept just being a staff doctor?
Right.
And she said, absolutely not.
Right.
I interview to be your medical director and I will take nothing less.
I admire
and they hired her.
As they should. I admire the strength of Dr. Imani so much. I admire all the women on the panel and on the show, but Dr. Imani in particular, she gives me very much my mom vibe, where it's like, strong Black woman, I'm going to get it, and you're going to respect me because I've earned it. And I love that that's the energy that she's radiating, and I love that that's what she's giving the students, because, you know, as much as we would love for everything to be a level playing field, and we have things like affirmative action and all of that, this is the reality that we are in. And I'm here to give it to you real, so that way you don't go out there with your blinders on, getting slapped in the back of the head. So I lived.
Yeah, I mean, she is definitely being more open and allowing herself to show some vulnerability from the earlier episodes.
About time.
And I appreciate her being a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Being so open about her battle with mental illness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. And go ahead.
Because you was about to skip all over Shanique's presentation.
So oh, no, we'll get back to Shanique.
Let's give her some,
Sam, with Dr. Imani,
mm-hmm.
that she basically said that there are times when she's just a mess on the inside. Well, that's most of us sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Girl.
The inside might be boiling over, whereas your outside facade says you're cool, whatever. But that's just being human. But she definitely, though, has struggled with a lot of deep anxiety, as mm-hmm. she said, and mental illness to a degree that she has. She is on medication. According to her. So, you know.
A very powerful moment for her because Imani seems so well collected. And mm-hmm. to know that she's constantly feeling like, what is she always wants to grip something because her anxiety is so high. It's like, it was so relatable. But to see it from someone that seems so polished was just, it was kind of refreshing. As much as I felt bad, I was like, but I like you a lot more. Mm-hmm. I like you a lot more. She's shedding layers, and I think she might easily become one of the girls that we favor. Because I know we were all on the Kendra boat, and I still am. But, you know, I'm about to get on Imani's dock for lunch. You know?
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, she's about to go through something, but you were saying Shanique in her presentation.
Yes, we finally got into Shanique's real estate presentation to her husband this episode, and I must say, I was pretty impressed. The first scene when she was pitching it to Jazz, I was like, okay, well, maybe no. But she came with some details this time. She had more slides.
She had like 4 bullet points. So I was like, nah. I didn't think he was going to fall for that.
I was so worried. I'm like, girl, he going to chew you up and spit you out. But she,
I thought so.
She came with it. She did. And, you know, what were your thoughts on it?
She came with it.
Right.
When he walked in the door, she gave him a beer. She had on a low-cut top.
Right. Oh, you keep the top.
Her boobs were like, her girls were like, hey, honey. So he was like, I'm not about to, you know, get on her case because she looked too delicious. So I think she could have sold him anything.
Absolutely. And she did. So I'm glad to see that we'll be allowing Shanique. I think their agreement was that they'll be allowing Shanique to have a term at just trying to figure out the real estate game, which she deserves. She held down the household.
Yeah.
She's put in the time. She's put in the work. Let her live out her life.
Yeah.
I'm starting to notice that this is a common theme with the women, where the husbands are kind of like not limiting them, but like kind of impeding in a sense, where it's like they want to be head of the household. And I don't think it's a misogynistic thing. I think it's just an innate, you know, I want to make sure the family is good. But in doing that, they're kind of impeding on the women.
Well, it's a give and take. And so, you know, it's not like they don't have a little comfort as far as a good lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to, you know, make whatever adjustments they need to make. But speaking of that, Jasmine.
What you got to say about Jasmine?
Well, who takes their blood after they eat that wasn't even a teaspoon of ice cream.
A Dixie cup. And not even a Dixie
cup. That wasn't even a Dixie cup.
I'm being generous by saying it's a Dixie cup. Right.
Those little shots they give you at the hospital or the doctor's office for a little something.
It's so strange. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm judging her health or anything. You know, you do your fitness plan. But everywhere you go, you take those sample cups and then you prick your blood when you're with people to test your blood sugar. I'm like, girl, that is not it. Like, well, when Imani was like,
yeah.
She was like, are you sure this is not egregious? I was like, yeah, because this is disgusting. Like, you don't just pull that out and prick yourself.
Right. Well, when we get to news, which isn't far away, guys, I have something about Jasmine in the news that relates to that whole scene.
Maybe that'll give me some perspective, because right now it's just looking like, girl, I want to look shape too, because Jasmine's body is banging. However, if I got to do all of that consistently, I'm okay where I'm at.
You got to starve yourself, you know?
Yeah, like I don't want no seasoning on anything. I can only have like a fork side portion. I can't. Mm-mm, not me.
That's not enjoying life. I mean, you can enjoy life, do anything in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to starve yourself.
Yeah, and I also get nervous because this is on a platform like Bravo. So I always worry, like, who's watching this? Is this what I have to do to attain that body goal?
Because
she looks amazing. However, I don't know if her methods are the most practical or the healthiest mentally or physically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So are you ready for news? You want to get into it?
Yeah, because if you're going to give me something to help me clear this up, then
I want to ease your mind.
Please, because I'm worried. I'm concerned.
Okay. So after doing tonight's episode, Married to Medicine LA fans sounded the alarm on Twitter and Instagram about Jasmine Johnson's extreme diet regimen. And the fans were basically saying, in an episode that focused on mental illness, why didn't they address Jasmine's possible eating disorders?
Oh, wow.
Fans wrote, checking your blood sugar level is not normal. For a show full of doctors, you're telling me no one has diagnosed her as having an eating disorder yet?
Girl.
In quotes, Jasmine seems to have a very unhealthy relationship with food. Disordered eating comes in many forms. I want to be as healthy and snatched as the next woman. But honey, Jasmine's routine doesn't seem healthy at this point. And another fan expressed, it's not normal to be checking your sugar level if you're not diabetic.
Right.
Jasmine is in a dangerous state, and it could lead to a serious eating disorder if she doesn't already have one. So the doctors need to make a house call. to see
now,
Jasmine.
Let me ask you, do you think that it's for the theatrics of the show that she is checking her blood sugar level on camera? Or do you think that that is a consistent in Jasmine's life for real?
I think that's something that she does and she didn't mind sharing it.
Wow.
It's part of her brand.
Yeah, and maybe also part of her routine, which is probably why it seems so normal to her. It's like, this is what I do when I eat a certain, you know, amount of sweet food to make sure that everything's stable. You know, I know that eating disorders, mental health in general, but eating disorders are such a sensitive topic, so I don't want to assume that that's what it is, kind of like the people on Twitter were, because it's such a heavy thing, especially when your brand is fitness and she's putting herself out there. So I don't want to assume all of that. But as a viewer from the outside looking in, it's a little concerning.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen it done to that degree. I know that there are people who step on scales continuously and you know, run a lot and do all this stuff. But that was next level for me. The sample cups.
Yeah.
And then the pricking, that was next level.
It was very concerning.
Yeah.
Very concerning.
Wow. Oh, okay. Twitter, I don't want to say Twitter's onto something, but okay, Twitter, we hear you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, time will tell, right? So
yeah.
Moving along, I don't know how we are on time, but
that's really interesting though. One thing though, because you were talking about Dr. Imani's psychological health, but Jasmine is showing us this during her sit down with Imani. Imani being a psychiatrist, do you think that they are close enough or stable enough in their relationship where Imani could possibly raise that concern to Jasmine without it triggering something?
I'm sure she will. And Jasmine will probably not take it the right way, or they may do an intervention. And that will probably come closer to the end of the season. But the other thing I wanted to add about news was that Dr. Imani, of course, asked her husband for a divorce.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, we saw that this episode too. It makes perfect sense. But does she give more details outside of the show than she did on the show?
Not so far, but I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding as far as him opening up this marijuana dispensary. And so he's telling her it's his business, business, not our business. This is your wife, his business. So that makes me wonder. Is her name probably not because she's a medical professional, but with those dispensaries, you do need a medical professional, I think, attached to it in some way.
I would think, because people can say that they're purchasing for medicinal reasons. So if they have a prescription from a doctor, it would make sense to have her on there. But, you know, my heart goes out to Dr. Imani. I've never been married nor divorced, but just to see... Because she seemed like she really wanted to hold on to it. But to know that she lost enough hope to just be like, I just asked for a divorce was tough. And I don't feel like she opened up to that many people. We didn't see her open up with the other girls like that. She gave them bits and pieces, but I feel like she really had to go through this transition by herself.
And, you know, I think they're going to rally around her. But I remember, too, something that I thought was just so sweet and touching in the episode was Kendra giving Leah's daughter advice about puberty and the birds and the bees.
Yes.
I thought that was really a very heartfelt, honest moment.
Absolutely. It was beautiful. And I also think in that scene, we were able to get more about Leah and realize why she may be a little bit of a hard shell as well.
Right. Exactly.
She gave us some backstory. We found out that she had her daughter at age 18, 19, and didn't really get to do much of her own living because she sacrificed for the sake of her child, which is like, wow. Now I have some more feelings towards Leah because before she was just a castmate.
So, wow. It's going to be exciting to see what the coming episodes will be. So I've got some great predictions that I want to share.
Absolutely. Go for it.
So I really think that the ladies are going to rally around Dr. Imani.
Predictions.
Because
I'm hoping.
anybody who doesn't, that can't put themselves in her shoes, wow.
Yeah, that would be ugly.
About you.
That would be cold.
Pretty heartless.
Yeah.
Because divorce or a relationship breaking up can happen to anyone.
Right.
So, and this is when something like that happens, you know who your friends are.
Right.
So we're going to see who her true friends are. We know Britton and Katessa are there for her.
Absolutely.
And I hope they bring Katessa back more in the coming episodes, because I really like that dynamic. And I think they benefit from having the ladies from Atlanta drop in every now and then, especially Katessa, because she has the most history with them.
Yes.
But yeah, I think Dr. Imani, we're going to see her go through a lot. And so I just hope that all the ladies rally around her. So that is my prediction.
Yeah, that's good. I'm really hoping a lot of the same for Dr. Imani. I think this might be a turning point for her, her character on the show. I'm also seeing that Britton may be turning up the heat with her relationship with her husband, because it's
long overdue.
Long overdue. So I'm very excited that the kids are out the bed and baby boy's back in.
Fresh like, cobwebs off, right?
Let's do something. Give him something he can feel. Come on. So I'm very excited about the upcoming episodes. Very excited.
Great.
But that was all for our time here for the Married to Medicine LA After Show. We just want to thank you all for tuning in, for constantly supporting. For those of you out there protesting and using your voices, we spread love. We feel love, and we are all in this together, and we will get through this together. Regina, do you have any final messages?
I just want to say that, guys, peaceful protest, okay? Peaceful. Mm-hmm. Peaceful. And change doesn't happen overnight. So just hang in there, be strong, and let your voice resonate with the right message that can bring people together.
That's a good takeaway. So
with
good.
That being said, Eric, they can find me at Regina E. Coles on Instagram or Regina Rico, R-E-C-O on Twitter.
All right.
How about you?
And as always, you guys can catch me on Instagram at The World According to Eric, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Eric Devante. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next time.
We will.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or-